NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong. And today we have a very special indicator that comes from NPR economics reporter Scott Horsley. Hey, Scott.
Hey, great to be with you. I have brought an indicator today that is 77.8%. That's the share of working age women in the U.S. who are in the workforce. That is, they're either working or they're looking for work. And that figure, 77.8%, that is the highest it has ever been.
Well, I'm a woman in the workforce, so I am part of this milestone.
You certainly are, yes. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
And it's all the more remarkable that we're hitting that post, given where we were just 3 years ago.
Right, because if you remember back, millions of women lost their jobs when the pandemic forced shops and restaurants to close. And what's more, economist Betsy Stevenson says many more women who still had jobs were forced to quit, largely because of family responsibilities.
You know, I had a woman come up to me and say that she didn't want to quit her job, but her kids didn't have in-person school. And she couldn't think of any other solution. And she was driving home from having given her notice. And she's in the car bawling her eyes out, thinking, I can't believe I've done this. This wasn't people who got discouraged and left. These were people who left because they had no other choice.
Yeah, I didn't have to make that kind of decision, but I certainly know women who did. And it was just a really brutal time for everyone trying to manage virtual school and job stuff and other things all at the same time.
And I did some reporting at the time. I mean, I spoke to a lot of women who were reluctantly leaving the workforce because, just as Betsy says, they didn't feel as if they had another option. And at the time, there was a lot of concern that this was going to have a lasting effect on the ranks of working women, that they might stay out of the workforce for years. But as it turns out, women have bounced back from the pandemic even more quickly than men have.
So today on the show, the rapid rebound of women in the workforce. That's coming up after the break.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Fisher Investments. SVP Judy Abrams shares how their fiduciary duty comes to life while helping clients plan for retirement.
As a fiduciary, we must make decisions in our clients' best interest. So we work with them in consultation to be on a glide path so when they want the option to retire, that portfolio is still going to keep working for them at this stage of life.
Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Support for NPR comes from ADP. Don't know if you've heard, but the latest workplace trend is currently sneaking up on your business. What is it? Could be anything. The great cubicle comeback, maybe a global bagel shortage. Dealing with anything is what ADP does best, something they've been doing for over 70 years. From HR to payroll, ADP designs forward-thinking solutions so businesses are ready for the next anything. ADP, always designing for people.
The share of women aged 25 to 54 who are working or looking for work right now is the highest it has ever been. What that means is it's not just women who dropped out during the pandemic who have come back into the workforce. We've also seen a return of women who might have left the job market years ago, people like DeAndre Rahming.
I was very apprehensive. I was like, can I do this? I've been out since 2008.
DeAndre told me she quit working when her second son was born. Well, he's now 15. She also has a four-year-old daughter. And while she had always planned on coming back to work someday, DeAndre worried if employers would want her after such a lengthy absence.
Are they going to look at me and say, oh, you've been out of work too long? And then with a woman, it's always, you have kids, do you have daycare? Are you reliable? Are you going to be punctual?
Now, employers are not supposed to ask those questions, but plenty of women worry about the answers.
So DeAndre was pleasantly surprised to find out that in today's super tight job market, when unemployment is close to a 50-year low, employers are eager to hire people, even those who've been out of work for a while. When she returned to work in Fort Lauderdale, DeAndre was surrounded by this wide range of coworkers. There were other moms who had teenage kids like herself. There were 20-somethings who were just starting out. And there were older workers whose kids maybe already left the nest.
It really helped me come out of my shell. And it really eased my anxiety of coming back to work after being at home for so long.
DeAndre says while her husband earns a good salary as an accountant, adding a second income was a boost for their family budget, especially with the hungry teenager at home and grocery bills of $300 to $400 a week. But it's not just the paycheck that makes her proud to be back in the workforce.
I come from a very long line of modern women. My grandmother, she raised six kids by herself after her and her husband divorced, and she was always working. That's just been inbred in me so much that it's just like second nature for me. So going back and working and being able to just fulfill that accomplishment, like, I can do this. I still can run with the best of them.
The pandemic was also a wake-up call for a lot of employers. Bosses who used to treat work and home life as completely separate spheres suddenly got a crash course in the challenges that working parents have always faced.
Waylon, remember that BBC video that went viral a few years before the pandemic? There was this professor, he was being interviewed, and his toddler daughter comes waddling into his office on live TV.
Yeah, and then there's a second kid who comes in on an Exer saucer. It's so funny.
It was a sensation at the time, but I think about that. Nowadays, that video would not get a second glance because, as Christine Winston says, now we have all been there.
The silver lining of the pandemic is that everyone started to understand the ways that caregiving and career intersect, because everybody was at home with their five-year-old or their eight-year-old who was doing school on Zoom.
Christine is vice president of an organization called Path Forward. It helps women who are out of the workforce for some time get back in. Christine says she used to have to twist companies' arms to give her clients a chance. Now she says employers come to her in search of would-be workers they might have otherwise overlooked.
A lot more employers became aware of the challenges, and a lot more employers became aware that there was this huge pool of talent on the sidelines.
Christine herself was out of the workforce for about 9 years while her two sons were younger. And after a long period of caregiving like that, people might not be up to speed on the latest software, for example, but Christine says they still have a lot to offer to a potential employer.
Caregivers are master multitaskers, master project management, working in groups, negotiation skills. I always say if you've ever negotiated with a toddler to put on their shoes, you are a ninja negotiator.
I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn profile. Of course, juggling work and family responsibilities has never been easy. And the country's rickety childcare industry does not help. There are about 50,000 fewer people working in childcare now than there were before the pandemic. And it's not as if it was easy to find affordable care for kids even back then.
Yeah, and the situation could get worse. $24 billion in federal grants that have been propping up that rickety childcare system for the last couple of years are set to run out this fall. But as hard as it is, economist Betsy Stevenson, who's at the University of Michigan, says many people are managing to find workarounds. And she thinks that's partly because employers in this tight job market are more willing now to cut their workers some slack.
One of the things that had to happen, in order to bring these women back was employers had to be desperate.
Betsy says that's given workers some leverage to demand more flexibility.
Workers have had a lot of bargaining power, not just for higher wages, but to say, you know, I can't come in 5 days a week. Or I got to be able to pick my kids up from school and then I can go back to working remotely.
And by the way, Betsy says that newfound flexibility has been good for a lot of working fathers as well.
A lot of dads learned that leaving the house before the kids get up, getting home just before they go to bed, not really being present, that's not what they wanted, but they hadn't been able to figure out how to do something different.
This could all change if the job market softens. Employers might grow less willing to make accommodations for their workers. But Betsy thinks that would be a mistake. The last couple of years have shown that flexibility doesn't cost companies all that much, and it opens the door for a lot more people to join the workforce.
If we need to keep adding jobs, where are the workers going to come from? And yet what we've seen month after month is they are showing up to take the jobs. And in particular, it's women showing up to take the jobs.
That's been good for women and for their families. It's also been good for the growing U.S. economy.
This episode was produced by Brittany Cronin with engineering by Josh Newell. It was fact-checked by Sarah Juarez. Viet Laser senior producer. Kate Kinkannon edits the show, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.
Across America, history is often recorded on small markers. You've probably seen them on the sides of roads, in front of buildings, in the middle of nowhere. NPR's Laura Sullivan spent a year investigating thousands of markers and found a distorted version of America's history, but also curiosities, humor, and joy. Listen to the new episode of The Sunday Story on the Up First podcast from NPR.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election: guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.